As we think of dear Joseph, it is very beautiful to notice the different characteristics about him in this book of Genesis. He's the seventh man that God brings to our attention. The first man was made in the image of God and he failed. But God brings us to Joseph, number seven. He is called the Lord of the land. He is the Savior of Egypt. He is our beloved Lord in picture. Marvelous, illustrious character, dear Joseph. But where we are going to read, we have had the experience in chapter 43 of this book of his brethren sitting at table with him. They made a presentation to him. They had gathered a present. I often marvel at that present when I think of it. There was a famine for 2 years already in that land. It was devastated. The people were hungry. But they had gathered very particular elements to make a present of presentation to David. And beloved, ours has been the honor this morning to listen to our beloved brethren from the meditations of their heart, presenting unto our heavenly Joseph a present of thanksgiving and of praise. But there was one other thing that those men had to do. They had to pay a debt. Joseph had indebted them, made them indebted to him, and they had to bring back that money which he left in their sack. And we are here this morning, brethren, as debtors. Debtors to our heavenly Joseph. How glorious it is to realize that he has made us indebted to him for eternity. But thank God for that privilege. But what I want to notice with you is just one verse, and I'm going to take it out of its setting just to make application to ourselves this morning. As we have sat in the presence of our heavenly Joseph at his table, I love that picture. They were amazed as they sat there. And beloved, we should be amazed this morning as we are sitting face to face with our heavenly Joseph in this room today. Every one of us in a very particular order of acceptance and appointment by him. Sisters, brethren, younger, older, gifted, those who have been prepared of God, all in particular order, separated from the Egyptians, he sitting in singular glory in their midst, they're gathered around their Joseph. Thank God for the honor conferred upon us this Lord's Day morning, once more in this world, to sit in the presence of our glorious Lord. In chapter 44, Joseph sends them back home again with food. But he puts his cup into Benjamin's sack. And of course, they are very disturbed because of the manner in which Joseph has approached them. He is endeavoring, of course, to come to the great moment of chapter 45, which he longs for, and he's going to realize as he reveals himself to them, saying, "I am Joseph." There is a sense, beloved, in which we have experienced that this morning. Our hearts have been touched when we think of the Lord Jesus receiving the feeble praise of our lips, and yet he can say to us, "I am Jesus." Thank God for that privilege of being face to face with him. But notice verse 17 of this chapter. It's just the expression of this verse that I wish to make application for and into our own hearts this morning. He said, "God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant." I want to take that simply, dear brethren, allow me an application this morning. The man in whose hand my cup is found, he shall be my servant. When our brother was giving thanks for the cup this morning, reminds us of the Lord Jesus in that upper room. He took the cup and he gave it to them. The Spirit of God reminds us that it is a cup of communion. It is a cup of blessing. And every one of us in this circle this morning, we took that cup. We gave expression to a fellowship with himself and with one another. A marvelous display to angelic beings, angels, to the Father, to the Lord Jesus himself. We took his cup. Now he says, the man in whose hand my cup is found, he shall be my servant. What an honor, beloved, to be a servant of such a glorious one. The servant submits himself to the will of that one. And beloved, we could have no greater will for our life than the will of our risen Lord. We could have no greater mind of wisdom to submit to than the mind of our glorious Lord. We could have no greater program of prosperity and blessing and usefulness than the program of obedience to our risen Lord. The man in whose hand my cup is found, he shall be my servant. Let me just note with you the claims of that cup and then the commission of the Lord as he gave it to them. As he gave it to them and sent them home to their father. First of all, it's the authority of the word of the man who had this cup. When the people came to Pharaoh looking for food, he sent them, he says, go to Joseph, and what he saith unto you, do it. That's the authority. And dear brethren, as we have taken this cup this morning, these words can be written over it. What he saith unto you, do it. What an honor it is as a servant to have his word for our gathering this morning. That's what makes it beautiful, beloved. It is his word. And we, in submission to that word, we are found honored and giving honor to our blessed one. The authority of that cup is because of the word of Joseph. But the other thing that really impresses me as I read the experience of Joseph and his brethren, three times they're going to say, the man is Lord. I love that statement. The man is Lord. Dearly beloved, that blessed man upon heaven's throne today, he is Lord. Sovereign of the universe. He is Lord of all. And marvelous shall be the day when he shall deliver all things up unto the Father, and God will be all in all. In every aspect, in every avenue, in every character of the display of his glory, he is Lord. And thus, as we have taken this cup again, I will repetitively just bring that before our hearts, brethren. It has impressed me, and I hope it will impress you today. Younger brother, younger sister, dear older saint, with your years of experience, as you took that cup, let these words be written upon our mind. The man in whose hand my cup is found, he shall be my servant. But there's another claim of this cup, and that is the fact of the purposes of Joseph for his brethren. It's reconciliation he has in mind. It's restoration. It's the fulfillment even of his dreams. It's interesting to notice one of our brethren mentioned yesterday, I believe it was Brother Valens, mentioned that Joseph is named as the firstborn. That's interesting. He's the son of the Father's love. He's a shepherd. He's a prophet. He is the firstborn. That is our Lord. And that's what we have here in the authority of this cup, which we have taken this morning. It is the cup of him who is going to unfold and control the program of their life, of their future, and of the very land of Egypt in which they're going to dwell. So we have taken that cup, and we are his servants. Let me note with you as I close four things that Joseph said to them as he sent them away after he had brought them back again and had faced them concerning this cup. He says, do you not understand what this cup is? This is the cup. He speaks of his own worship. He speaks of his own authority. This is the cup of my authority. This is the cup for my worship. And you have taken it. It's in your hand. You are my servant, especially dear Benjamin. The first thing he told them, as we were to read further in chapter 45, after he has revealed himself to them, he says, I want you to go home to your father and straighten things out with him about me. They had never told their father the truth. Now it's time to get right with their father. Dearly beloved, we're on our way home. Even as we go home from this conference, is it not precious to be able to get alone in the room just with your father? And make sure, brothers, sisters, make sure that anything that has not been right between you and your Lord, set it right with your father. That's what Joseph wanted these men to do. Let their father hear the truth of their relationship with him. But he adds to that, as we all are acquainted with the command of dear Joseph, he says, the second thing I want you to do is I want you to tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. Ah, beloved, we ought to be, and indeed he's exhorting them to look at him, look at the adornment of his person, look at the gold chain about his neck, look at the great ring upon his finger, look at the white garments, remember the chariot in which he rode, remember the knees that bowed to him. God hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He says, I want you to be a student of my glories and tell my Father. He wants us, brethren, to give the Father pleasure of being occupied with his glories. You've taken his cup. Now he says, you're my servants. This is what I want you to do. I want you to be cognizant and to understand and to see the wonders of my glory and tell my Father of all my glory in Egypt. But he had another thing that he mentioned to them. He says, I want you to wear these garments. Take off those old garments that you came in. And he gave each of them new garments. And he gave them food and other blessings. We don't have the character of them, but they're mentioned as others. He gave them to him to take home to the father. And all the way home, and when they reached their father, they looked different than when they left him. And dear brethren, our blessed Lord, we as his servants, he has given to us garments to wear. Garments of likeness of his glory came from his hand to adorn them. Let us let the world see what a Christian looks like, beloved. Let us let our world see the man who is our Lord. We have taken his cup in our hand this morning. Oh, what an honor to have a distinction as a Christian in a world of darkness and ignorance and hatred of the very one whose precious cup we have taken in our hand this morning. But there's one other thing he said to them as he left them. He says, you make sure all the way home, no arguments. See that you do not fall out by the way. He had heard them argue before. He had seen the fruit of their undisciplined fellowship before. Now he says, all the way home, no sidetracking, no detours.
Go home to your Father in fellowship one with another. Dearly beloved, I hope that the memory of taking the cup, which speaks of the precious blood of Christ, that cup of wine this morning, may be written upon us. You are my servant. Listen to my counsel. Make sure you set things right with your Father. Make sure that you become a student of my person and tell thy Father of my glory. Make sure that all the way home, there's no arguments, no falling out, keeping in fellowship until they went and reached the Father and brought the Father with them, reconciled unto Joseph. May God graciously make his word sweet to our heart and help us to bow to the precious honor of being a servant of the man who is Lord in Egypt. He is the Savior of the world.